good lady wife. It's just a privilege to be able to welcome you, Jill, to this podium this morning. And I look forward to again hearing what the Lord's laid on your heart. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my wife, Jillian. I thank you, Lord, for this message that you've given to her. And I thank you, Lord, that our ears are open, our hearts are prepared to hear what the Lord is saying to this church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Now, if you believe everything he says about me, I mean, you know, as if I could cajole him into doing anything, really. I learned a long time ago that that was not going to happen, but I do have a secret weapon. Prayer. Me and the Holy Spirit, we talk a lot about things. Yes, indeed. So, bless you. Great to see you this morning. Now, as you know, Pastor Ryan started a couple of weeks ago a sermon series on the great and precious promises of God. And I'm going to continue that with something that I feel is foundational for us to live Victorian Christian lives. Victorious, not Victorian. Forget the Victorians, they were a bit staid. You don't want to go there. No, God wants much more for us than that. Victorious Christian lives. And so we need to understand what his word says and what his promises are to us so that we can do that. So I'm just going to recap then. The basis for his promises, and Pastor Ryan was using this scripture in 2 Peter verse 3 and 4 of chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these are, back to verse 3, his divine power and our knowledge of him, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Grab that phrase. You may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, that's the foundation, and that's what the series is about, God's promises, his great and precious promises. And for us to be able to grasp those and to be participants in the divine nature that he's giving us and given to us, both present, future, past, present, future tenses there, we need to understand who we are and what we are and what we will be. So my scripture basis this morning, I'm talking about transformation. And the scripture basis is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Thanks, John. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual or reasonable, or another word would be responsible, appropriate act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm sticking with verse 2. This is a foundation. Do not conform, but be transformed. And then, John, do you have my fruit? What do you think this is? A Christmas present or a square watermelon? Yes, indeed. It is both, actually. It is a square watermelon. Believe it or not, there is a town in Japan that grows these things, and actually they can shape them into other shapes as well. It started out as a really good idea because they wanted to fit watermelons into refrigerators. All right, this sounds like a good idea. Let's just conform this thing, reform it, shape it. It didn't really quite work out in practicality because it looks good, but it doesn't taste good. It's not the same. It's the same fruit, but it's not the same. Because it's been conformed, it's lost its essence of what it was. It's paler inside. Its taste is gone. It's really not good for eating. It's lost its potential. So all it's good for now is an ornament, and they pay hundreds of dollars for these things. So somebody has reaped the benefit of a failed experiment. But it's not what it should be. It's lost itself. And we ourselves, if we allow the world to conform us, we lose what we were created to be. I mean, we could look good. We could even sit in church and look good. But we're not what we should be. Our potential has been dissipated. We cannot ever reach that. We're going to be fine on the outside, but the inside is insignificant. And that's not what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the image of God to this world. J.B. Phillips, in his translation of this verse, says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within." We all know about peer pressure and conformity. We've all been part of it, under it. Some of us still are. You know, the pressures of the world to conform to society, do this, that, and the other. But God wants to change things from within us. Don't be conformed. Realize your potential and be who you were made to be. So how do we get to that part? Through the transformation of our minds. John tells us that if we have received Christ, he gave us the right to be children of God. It's not what we were. We were alienated from God. In Titus chapter 3, it says that we are saved through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We are being made new. We're not conforming, but are changing. The scripture that are the foundation of this promise, and all scripture is breathed by God and is instructive. It's God's word to us. And this comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It's a progressive thing, the tense of that word. We are becoming and are and yet are becoming and are and yet are becoming a new creation, a whole new thing. The old is gone and the new has come. Verse 21, so that in him, that is Christ, we may begin to become the righteousness of God. In him, we may become, and that tense there is begin to be, the righteousness of God. We can't be conformed because we lose our potential. If we're in Christ, our potential is going to be realized if we work with him and work with the Holy Spirit. We are becoming a new creation, and we become and begin to be the righteousness of God in Christ. At salvation, we receive justification. That's, we stand before God pure because of Christ's blood. We receive salvation. That's a done deal. But we are becoming the image of God in this world, the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what we call sanctification, if you want to use the theological terminology. That is an ongoing process. Now, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformation that's going to take place takes place a bit like this. You see this? Isn't she wonderful? She's a beauty. I think it's gorgeous. You know what it is? I know that Steve knows what it is. This is a fast sports car. It's an MG. Back in its day, 1951, it was fast, 80 miles an hour, 1.3 liters, 0 to 60 in 20.5 seconds. Now, remember back in 1951, that was fast. I know, but then, you know, in 51, what the heck? But if you use those gears right, man, she can fly. All right, so this car started out, lovely thing that it is, with an MG motor, four cylinders, four gears on the floor. Lovely thing. gorgeous. I'd love to drive it even like that. However, it's in the hands of God. That is Steve Havila. There is a car, this is the same color, the very same make and model, that's in his shop. And this thing is undergoing a metamorphosis. It's being transformed. It was pretty good back then, but now, oh my word, still four cylinders, but it's got five speeds. It's got nice new headlights, LEDs, so it can see for miles. He took the old motor out. Not that one anymore. Now it's a Ford motor. All right, now this is becoming a new beast here. And because of that, and the modifications and other things he's had to do, shorten the drive shaft because of them, you know, your technical details, but you guys might get that. It's a whole new animal. This thing can now, instead of its top speed being 80, Steve guesstimates it's probably around 110, which is pretty good. You've got four speeds, manual, six shift, 110. You can fly. You can fly. Can I fly in this thing one day? No, you better not. It's somebody else's car. It's not his. Can't do that. Pretty good. It's a whole new animal to what it was inside. It's different. It looks like an MG, but it's not going to act like one. It's going to be better. Much, much better than what it was. Oh, and it's got Bluetooth, so it's been modernized as well. Was that your little idea, Steve? That's a good one. Yeah. So, metamorphosis. We're talking about transformation, and transformation from the inside. Be transformed. That word transformed, the Greek is metamorpho, and we get metamorphosis from that. And that means that something has changed into another form. It's different to what it was. It's completely different to what it was. That word also pops up in Mark and Matthew when it talks about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration where he was transfigured. The word transfigured is also metamorpho. The glory of God, what was within him, shone forth. His essence was seen and made evident. We saw something new that was not seen before. The manifest glory of God right there. And that same word is used here. For transformation. The best picture of metamorphosis is this one. And without laboring the analogy too much, which you could, this is a good picture for us as Christians as to what we were, what we are going through, and what we are becoming. What happens in this chrysalis is a whole inward change. You look up metamorphosis of a butterfly, it's fascinating. Like the car. Some things are moved, some things change function, some things are awakened into their purpose, where they were dormant before. The caterpillar's alimentary tract is shortened because it doesn't need that anymore, and yet its trachea and breathing apparatus is increased because it's going to need that as a butterfly. Things are transformed. Change to a different function. Some things are awakened that were never used before. It didn't have wings. The cells for the wings move and then are kicked into activity and so on. For antennae, the eyes, the mouth parts, that's completely different. Everything. God's in the business of doing something like that to us. Our metamorphosis takes place on the inside. This is our chrysalis. We don't hang on a branch upside down and turn green. We have a living chrysalis. It's active, our bodies. The transformation happens within, and yet it is shown as we go about our lives. It doesn't have to wait until our wings are dry and we fly as a butterfly. Just stretching the analogy a little bit there. We are living our intended purpose. And yet are being changed continually into it as we walk with the Holy Spirit and yield to him. Our metamorphosis is taking place daily. Transformed by the renewing of our minds. This is an odd place. You would think God, you know, he's awakened our spirits. Our spirits were dead and now have been made alive in Christ. But our minds, the seat of our intellect, our emotions, our will, our passions, our responses and attitudes and thoughts, that has to be renewed because it was alien to God and it has to be made new. Our minds, the implication here is that they're going to be made superior to what they were. The renewing of the mind, I spoke of that back in Titus, renewal by the Holy Spirit, and the renewing of the mind. That's the same word, anekenosis. It's a present and continuous tense. We are being renewed. We are being transformed in our minds as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. We partner with him, and this process takes place. If we don't partner with him, he will not do it. We're going to stay like the square watermelon, not reaching our full potential, not being what we were intended to be. But if we work with him, we are being renewed constantly and transformed. How does God do this? Because we're not robots, we're not puppets. The word tells us that if we have died with Christ, then we are also raised with him into new life. And we give a picture of that in baptism. We are dunked under, signifying burial. We are raised up, signifying new life. Well, then we have to walk in that. We have to live it out. Ephesians tells us that because of God's great love for us, he who is rich in mercy made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our sins and transgressions. And it goes on to say that we are God's workmanship, created to do good works. We are reaching towards our intended purpose. Our minds are being made superior to what they were. Our thinking changes, if you get that. We're being renewed in our knowledge and into the image of our Creator, Colossians tells us. All the way through that, it talks about that. The whole book of Colossians talks about renewal. Renewal in the knowledge of God. Renewal is us in the image of God and how that takes place. And as I said, as we partner with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4, 22 and 23 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude or spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. If we know who we are, we don't have to fight the old self because we know it's dealt with at Calvary. Because God has said we are new creations. So we change our focus. We are being made like Christ. It's a whole different focus to fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are being made like Christ. We can live in a victorious manner. We can partner with the Holy Spirit to help us overcome the things that come against us. Our attitudes, our thought processes, our habits, our emotions, our responses, our impulses, and our reactions. Our minds are not impulsive places. When it talks about the mind, it's talking about our cognition, our judgment, our understanding. It's not talking about random impulses. That's bestial. That's what animals do. It's talking about our weighing of facts. And everything that we do relates back into our minds, what we think about things, our focus, our perceptions, our basic concept of who we are and who God is established in our mind, and our actions will show what we think. So if we're fighting fear, doubt, if we're fighting inferiority, change your focus. Establish who you are in God, that he has made you a new creation, has made, is making, and will be making, continuous and ongoing, present tense and happening. You are being made new. And so therefore, because of that, instead of fear, you will have confidence instead of inferiority. You will know who you are in God, and you can be confident, and so forth, and so on, applying that to your life. Philippians tells us in chapter 2, verse 13, that God is at work in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, if you at first glance, you might think, well, God's going to do the work. God is in the business of changing you. He is changing your thought processes and changing your basic perceptions. And he will do it as you allow him to. We have to partner with him. And out of that, we will act according to his purpose. We need to understand who he is. We are not puppets. We are not robots. He wants us to partner with him. God will change our minds and our perceptions if we let him. But we need to work with him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, John thinks. And we who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory. If we jump back to Matthew and Mark, transfiguration of Jesus, he reflected the glory that was within him. That was his inherent inner being, who he was. That's what we are to do. As we undergo the process of metamorphosis, as we partner with the Holy Spirit and allow him to transform our minds, our processes of thought, our reactions, what we think about things, we will reflect the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. I'm not being heretical here. This is what Scripture says. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. God wants us to reflect who he is. That's why we're in our chrysalis here. And he's doing a work inside us. He is transforming us, making things new, doing away with other things as we let him. Changing things. Some of our thought process may be good, but we're misapplying them. For example, fear. There are some things we need to be careful of, but if we become paralyzed with fear and allow it to become much bigger than it should be and not trust in God, we can't do what he's designed us to do. He needs to change the size of that within us, like the drive shaft in the car, like the elementary tract of the caterpillar as it metamorphoses into a butterfly. God is at work, but we need to allow him to do it. Now, why does he want our minds? Why should we be transformed by the renewing of our mind? It'd be nice to be transformed by a whole new body already. We're going to get that when we get to glory, but it would be nice to have everything done right now, but he doesn't. Our mind is our place of complete and utter privacy. Nobody knows what goes on in our minds. It can't be seen with the naked eye. It can't be seen with microscopes or CAT scans or any other thing. It can't be perceived with electromagnetic pulses, synapses firing. That's all mechanical. But what is in there is completely private. What you think, your judgments, your responses, your impulses are in here. What you think about things, your basic understanding, your worldview, your perception of what the world is, it's all inside. And it shows by what you do. And so God wants to transform that so that our new life in Christ is shown. Because everything we do comes from a judgment of our minds. Our bodies react to something our mind has made a decision on. Our emotions react by something our mind has thought about, and so on. If our mind is set on our sinful nature, Romans says that the mind set that way is set in hostility to God, and it leads to death. And that's what we were before we were in Christ. But because we're new creations and we're in Christ, our mind is now to be set on the Spirit and his desires. It's to partner with the Holy Spirit, who now resides within us. to assist us in transformation. Then the mindset on the Spirit and his desires will be a mind of peace, and it leads to life. See the focus change? Instead of fighting the flesh, we focus on the Spirit. As we focus on the Spirit and partner with him, and partner with his transforming work in us and become pliable to him, obedient, submissive, I know we don't like that word, subject to his work in our lives and respond to it, we receive life and peace. Our focus changes, our actions change, our thought processes change. Who we think about ourselves changes. Our confidence changes dramatically. Philippians says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. There's enough negativity. We know who we were. We know our sinful nature. We don't need to dwell on that. We know what it was. What it was. It's not that anymore because you're being transformed. Think on the good things of God, the things of the Spirit. Your attitude, your life, everything changes. And then you can prove what the will of God is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The proof does not mean to discover or understand, because we know what the will of God is. It's right here. We pray. The Holy Spirit tells us. He works within our hearts. We know what the will of God is. But we learn by experience. That's what that means, prove. To learn by experience. To be active in it. That God's will is good. His plans are just. He knows what he's talking about. And he is faithful to his promises. And he will do what he said he will do. We know by experience. And his will and plan and purpose, which is pleasing and perfect, works for us because we live it. So don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't be squeezed into that mold. Let God transform your mind. Undergo the metamorphosis. Allow him to continually do that. And then you'll be able to know and understand fully and by experience the good and pleasing, perfect will of God in your life. And you can live it. As you are changed more and more into the image of God on the inner person and the likeness of God as to who you are in your inner parts, your mind, your will, emotions, your heart. The mind encompasses all that, the will and the emotions. So when I say mind, that's what I mean. And that's what Scripture means. The essence of who you are. And as we partner with the Holy Spirit, let him be at work in you and your attitudes. If there's things you have to lay down, ask him to help you do it. Attitudes, thoughts, perceptions about people's places and things. We're coming up to the anniversary of 9/11, and I will say this. Perceptions, thought patterns, responses have to change as a believer. We want justice and retribution, but God wants mercy. We are created in the image of God. Pray for your enemies. Perceptions, thought patterns, processes have to change. That's what I'm talking about. This is practicality. Evil is evil, but God is at work. Don't focus on the evil. Focus on God at work. Pray for your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Do good and not evil. That was a biggie. There are other things, much smaller things. Fear, gossip, greed, habits, addictions. There are many things. God wants to transform. Scripture says, as we submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee. And that's the inference here. When we know the Father's heart and partner with the Holy Spirit, we're set free. We are transformed. We become what and are becoming present and continuous, what we are intended for. Showing the glory of God in this world. Partakers of the divine nature, so that other people know that God is real and that he does work, that we can change. Contrary to Lady Gaga, yes, we can change. God changes stuff as we allow him to. You know that phrase, be patient, God is not finished with me yet? He's at work. But let me urge you to be patient with yourselves. Don't focus on what you were, what you think you are, but on what God says you are. A new creation, a whole new being with a whole new superior mind that can think differently and can see and understand things differently to what you did, because it's the mind of God that the Holy Spirit is at work doing in you. That changes everything about what we do and say, how we live, how we respond. It gives us confidence to live as victorious believers, as overcomers, not bound up and held down, but we can soar in the Holy Spirit as we partner with him. So let's just bow our heads a minute and pray as I finish here. Father, you are a good God who is always at work for our good and for your glory. And Lord, as you have promised, we are new creations and we are being transformed into the likeness and image of God as we allow your Holy Spirit to work within us. Father, as our hearts are turned towards you to allow you, and we cry out, Lord Jesus, help me. Holy Spirit, be at work within me. Help me with this thing. Help my attitude to change in that thing. Help my perspective be your perspective and not mine. Holy Spirit, you come and you do help us. And you do change us. And we are becoming the righteousness of God in Christ. We are new creations. Thank you, Lord, that we don't see who we are now, but we will. When we look back in a few months or years, we will see that we were not what we were. We are being changed continually as we are pliable in your hands. So we commit ourselves to you, Lord God. Holy Spirit, be at work in each and every heart and each and every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'd love to pray for you at the end if you need any assistance to address something in particular. Phil and I will be here, but God bless you all.
Thank you very much, Jill.